Welcome all the newcomers and visitors to Al-Anon. I'll just say very quickly that Al-Anon has totally changed my life. I'm indebted to Al-Anon, and it's been it's a very personal thing to me, and I really believe in the 12 steps. And I really believe that is the surgery that has helped me, get peace with my codependency. And I have there's not enough time to. How long am I speaking, Cynthia?
45 to 50 minutes.
Wow, that's a long time.
Or if you want to, if you want to, can open up the meeting to sharing.
Yeah. Okay. Well, this here is saying that keep the focus on ourselves. My favorite topic. You know, if any of you know me, I'm not much, but I'm all I think about. I'm really grateful to Al-Anon, and I did the Al-Anon luncheon, and that speaker was one of the best speakers that I think I've heard. He was really, really good. I really felt his message, and just real quick, growing up, I was brought up in the family where, second best, just was not good enough at all. And I had wrote something down this morning when I was meditating. Just out of the blue, I wrote something that, I was told as a kid. Have you ever had parents that say, turn your telephone off? No. Say, careful, you're overdoing it. That's the story of my life right there. Careful, you're overdoing it, growing up, like I said, second best was not good enough. I was brought up in a good, really good home. I believe, alcoholism is a family disease. I think it skipped a generation. My dad's dad was an alcoholic. He was a bouncer at a bar called the Bucket of Blood, and he was just a straight up crazy guy. But I never saw that from him. I always saw him as a really good guy. He used to take a piece of cardboard and cut out a horse, he was an artist, and he used to make these cartoons that say my brothers Dave and Carl playing football with John, and it would show a cartoon of him, my brother, kicking me in the air, But there was this tension between my dad and his dad, and you could see it, or I couldn't see it, but I know now what was really going on. And the reality was, is my grandma was taking care of him all the way to the bitter end, she worked one job for 35 years, and she just enabled him to drink, and that's the way it was, I think, back then. You didn't get divorced, and that's the way it was. But that kind of gives you an idea of the alcoholism going on with my dad's side of the family. I don't know much about my mom's side of the family. I still don't know much. I mean, I remember my grandparents, but there was no alcoholism going on there. But I'm sure there was, you know, there's always something going on. But so you know, growing up, I had a good upbringing, and you know, we did stuff as a family, and you know, I remember I was held back in first grade, and you know, I just wasn't smart enough, and that was kind of the first thing that hit me. That I just wasn't like I wasn't smart like you know, my peers, you know, and you know, I was on Ritalin as a kid, and I'm grateful that, you know, my parents took me off that after, you know, a few months. They just didn't want to see me just absolutely. I went from bouncing off the walls like a pachinko ball to just like, you know, Dawn of the Dead. So I'm grateful that my dad mom and dad saw differently. You know, I had caring parents. You know, I had parents that really were interested in what I was doing. And although I just know that my parents did the best they could. You know, I've accepted that. There's no blame game to go down for anything. You know, there were things you know, I got to keep the focus on me. And, you know, I just felt, like I said, I felt like I just felt less than. You know, I felt like I didn't measure up. And growing up, and anyways. You know, moving along, it was held back, so that was a weird deal, and I was afraid of, my dad played, like, pro baseball, and I was, like, he wanted us to play sports, and so I played baseball, and the first pitch ball I got, you know, you play a cap league, you hit it off a tee, and then you get into a minor league or whatever, and then I got hit in the head by a ball, the first pitch ball, and it scared me to death, and you know, I actually got hurt. You know, that was it. With that game, I just sat on the bench. Once again, I felt less than, you know, and so I continued to play, but in fear, and I would stand way away from the plate, and just scared to death. I was scared to death in school. I was just not. I just was not there. And so you know, moving along, I got introduced to you know, and I'll just say this the one time, you know, drinking, and I run the wheels off of that for years, all the way to the penitentiary. And that's the part of my story that, you know, I'm not going to go into, because I have the utmost respect for Al-Anon, and I'm keeping the focus on my codependency with Al-Anon and all that. But I run the wheels off of that, and it took me those dark places. But I will say this, that I had arrived, and I had no problem standing up to the plate. With baseball, I had no problem with going to jail. I had no problems. That was my solution. And then I got sober, and then that's when my life really got, you know, complicated. Let's just say that. Okay? You know, you know, you learn how. For me, I had to learn how to, you know, be a member of society. I had to learn how to. I had to do all the stuff that, you know. I had to learn how to read. You know, I had trashed my life for years. You know, just completely, and so here I am doing that deal, and. I get married, of course. You know, you get your life back. You need to get married. And I thought, you know, that's what you're supposed to do. I saw that growing up. You know, it was, I didn't come from a broken home, or thought, you know, that's what you're supposed to do. Did all that, got married in a big church, and, I'll tell you, it didn't feel right. I was, once again, scared to death. So I did all that, and then I'm just bumping up. We had a couple kids and beautiful daughters, and my first wife was sober 10 years, and she relapsed. And I had met her in the other program, and I thought this was it, you know. And I thought that it was gonna, you know, I was gonna live happily ever after. And that just was not the case at all. And through all this time of having kids, I went away from, you know, the 12 steps for 3-4 years there, and I became a workaholic, and, you know, became a dad and all that. I thought, you know, now I have time for this spiritual nonsense, you know. I gotta take care. I gotta provide for my family, you know. And and then when the big bomb blew off, I was ill prepared for that, and I come crawling back to the rooms, and then it was really a mess. So then that was the part of my life that I totally bottomed out with. And I had these two kids, and it just everything went wrong, was just all bad. And then I come back into the rooms. I start, you know, I had a spiritual awakening, actually, I start getting in the middle of my program, and then I meet my beautiful wife, who's here tonight, and it was a couple years later after that, I just took all this baggage from that relationship into my new relationship, and basically, and I would. And my wife, she couldn't handle it. You know, I have my kids, and I'd be so angry, and because they were with her, my ex, and she's getting loaded, and there's no parenting going on, and then they're coming to dad for a day or so, and they're just a mess, so it was a really tough time, and my wife, she started going to Al-Anon. I used to give her shit. What are you doing going to that Al-Anon and on and on? And she would say, yeah. She says, yeah, what are you going to do, you know, basically, you know. I'm really grateful to her, and I wouldn't even be here. I mean, I'm truly indebted to my wife. She has challenged me, and I start going to Al-Anon, and my first exposure to Al-Anon was our Tuesday night meeting, and it was over at the over by the river, across from the river, that meeting, and there was like there was like maybe a dozen of us, and there was a couple gay guys there, and I was the only, you know, straight guy there. And it's like my sponsor says, you need to go to that meeting, and I got an Al-Anon sponsor, and he says, you need to go there and get a commitment and get involved. And that's what I did, and I'll never forget, I took over the calendar, and our calendar guy used to say, you know, the calendar guy used to say, I'm your
your calendar boy. That's what he would say. You know? And, you know, the calendar is you sign up to lead a meeting and it goes around, you know. And then I was so proud because when I became calendar, when I made that announcement, I said, I'm John, your calendar man. You know? Whatever. It's all good. And, you know, But I got to know these guys. You know, I was desperate. Desperate times require desperate measures, and I just thrust myself into Al-Anon, and you know, I had you know, through my divorce and all of that, I had alopecia, I had my hair fall out. I mean, I had never been so stressed out in my life, you know. And, you know, I was so obsessed, enmeshed in not so much. I knew that it was over, you know, I knew it was over with my, there's just no way I could live like that. I mean, obviously. And, but I was just so enmeshed in something that I really had no business in the beginning. I mean, I hate to even, that's as brutally honest as it's going to get. I had no business getting married like that and doing what I did. You know, I was ill prepared for that. And so when that didn't go off right, you know, I remember going to my dad saying, guess what, Dad, I'm getting married. And my dad says, you got to be kidding me. You know, that's what my dad told me. You know? And then I remember saying to him, guess what, you know, Dad, Kathy and I, we're going to have a baby. And he said, you're kidding me. You know, do you have any idea what kind of a responsibility, you know, financial responsibility you're getting into, you know? And I'd say, no, but, you know, I'm going to find out, I guess, you know. He says, yeah, you're going to find out. You know, he wasn't supportive of it. He just knew that. You know, but it wasn't even so much that. I wasn't spiritually grounded for that, you know. And, I mean, I did the best I could, you know, and it's been a really, really tough deal. It's like, you know, she got custody of the kids. I was in no position to take them. I'm grateful for the grandparents that, you know what I mean? And I was in no position. I was like out of my mind, you know, with the whole deal. And it took a long time to go through the whole process of divorce. And you know, and I'm just going to my sponsor and Al-Anon, and he's just telling me, you know, we just need to get in the middle of Al-Anon, and you've got to see your part in it, and you got to take care of yourself, John. He'd say, you got to take care of yourself. And that was the deal. I wasn't taking care of myself. I was, not taking care of my health. I worked 5-7 days, you know, 6-7 days, you know, a week. I worked all the time, and I remember going home, and you know, once again with my wife, my current wife, she asked me what I did, and I told her I was hanging doors and for this company, and she said, "Are they paying you any more to do that?" I mean, I was training guys to hang doors, and she says, "Are they paying you any more to do that?" And I go, "No," and she said, "Well, you're not very smart, basically, you know, to quit that job. If we're not going to have a personal life, and if you're going to work all the time, then you need to ask them for more money. You'll do fine. Go out on your own, you know." And these are the little things along the way that I'm just so grateful that God, you know, put her in my life. And she subtly, you know, it wasn't something like it was a nag thing, or you know, it was really cool how it's all went down. But you know, I've been able to. I've had situations, you know, where I've picked my kids up. In fact, there's someone in the room here who used to go with me to get my kids, and
in Temecula. That was the spot where everyone, it seemed like, picked their kids up in Temecula. I was divorced, you know, and so that was the place. And, you know, there were times where, you know, I started getting some Al-Anon. I started doing the deal in Al-Anon. I started implementing these boundaries, you know, with that whole thing, you know, because I would get on the phone. It's like dealing with a gorilla, you know. You're just not going to win. You know, alcoholics, they drink. And they do it really well, and they manipulate, and they lie, and they steal, and they do just all kinds of crazy stuff. And they're not reliable, you know, when they're out there. And so I had someone go with me the one time and a couple times to get my kids because it was just so bad. She would be there with the smoking in the car with my, it's just the whole thing was bad. And so I remember one time it got so bad that, you know, being yelled at in the parking lot, like a big scene, you know, I'm just there to pick my kids up. And I said, you know, only if I hadn't gone to Al-Anon, it may have gone all bad. You know, I'm telling you. And I said, well, if you keep yelling, I'm just gonna leave all of you here. I mean, that's where I was with it. I mean, kids and all, and that's what I did. I left everything there and turned around. And then, you know, I talked to her the next day, and she talked like nothing happened. You know, like, you know, didn't even remember what the hell happened. And so it's been a tough battle, but Al-Anon's taught me to, you know, keep the focus on me and take care of me. And I went through about there where I quit smoking and quitting smoking was important to me. And I took on eating. I gained a bunch of weight. And it's just all the focus never, you know, I never took care of myself. I never thought I would ever exercise or, you know, surf or whatever. And I've been able to do that again. I'm so grateful for, you know, the men in Al-Anon, which they're like kind of far and few. You know, there's a lot of women in Al-Anon, you know. And so I'm grateful that the men... for the men in Al-Anon, and God, if you didn't hear that guy's message today, it was like unbelievable. It was probably one of the best speakers I think I've ever heard, one of the top for sure. And he just, you know, I'm not that guy, that's for sure. You know, but it's all good, you know. And It's been about getting in the middle of Al-Anon and taking on commitments, reaching my hand out. Like I said, it's all about the steps. I read The Courage to Change in the morning, and I read Al-Anon literature, and it's changed my whole life. I didn't have my self-worth. I felt like, you know, I was just a victim and a big doormat. And, you know, Al-Anon has enabled me to, you know, get my contractor's license to be able to, you know, really be self-supporting like that. I would work and I'd be so angry and resentful at my work, you know, but I would never say no that I couldn't work on the weekends. I just said, oh, yeah, I was a yes man. Times 100, yes guy. And you know, Al-Anon has opened my mind for sure with you know, living life. And so I'm just kind of lost really with with this whole deal. This came up. And, you know, I can never turn down an Al-Anon request or whatever. And My relationship with my kids today is good, really good. And my ex, I haven't talked to her in probably 2 years. We've said about 50 words in 20 years. And, you know, but it's all good. It's all good. You know, I talk to my kids. I'm in their life. I love my kids. I show up when I can, and they know their dad loves them. And I think I've been a loving example. It is what it is. They probably saw their dad, you know, crazy for a while there. And you know, I can't take back that. All I can do is be a good example forward. And I know I've been that. And the hardest place, you know, to work my program is in, you know, my own home. You know, it's definitely the hardest place for it to go down. You know, I see it, you know, that, you know, I say the car's black and my wife says it's red. You know, I mean, that's the way things go down, but, you know, sometimes, but, you know, how important is it, you know? And, you know, live and let live, and give people the dignity to make their, you know, their own mistakes. That's hard. That's been really hard stuff for me. That stuff has not come easy. I hear people, they come to Al-Anon and or whatever, and they just, it sounds like they're ready to graduate. And you know, I'm far from that. I'm a work in progress, you know, and one of my friends, I hear him say, I used to hate to hear him say this, only through doing things poorly do I do them better, something like that, you know. And I am not the poster child for Al-Anon, that's for sure. But I've done some stuff and I've made some changes, and I like, through trudging through, you know, the muck of it all, I like the outcome. And so I keep seeking that. And it's been a lot of God. It's been a lot of, like our speaker was talking about, you know, it's been a lot about a lot of prayer, a lot of praying my ass off. In a lot of different situations, you know, I think that you know, that guy said it so well. I had a lot of things I was going to say actually that guy said. You know, it's like, what do you say now, dude? Maybe I shouldn't have even gone and seen that guy. You know, I mean, he just he said some really, really, really cool stuff about, you know, staying in his. His own square, I don't know. I really encourage, if you're new to Al-Anon, to give Al-Anon a chance, and it'll help you so much, you know. But yeah, it is. You know, anything worth having requires work, and I just, you know, I don't want to do the work. That's my deal. I want this stuff to all. That's the story of my life. You know, my family's very successful. It's like, how come they just, you know, where do I fit into this? You know, I'm that selfish. You know. How come I haven't gotten mine yet, you know? And it's like Al-Anon, only through, the only peace I've gotten is through step work and talking with my sponsor and other men, and being a part of with meetings and, you know, extending my hand. It's funny, you put all that up front, and it just seems like my life gets better and better. And I like some of the things that has happened for me, you know. It's helped me major with, my dad would tell me stuff like, you know, now that you've been, you know, sober for a while, it's time for you to, you know, get on with life, you know. And I would say, well, you know, this is my life. And, you'll never get a job, you know, looking like that, you know. And, I just never did it right. But I know, like I said, once again, I know that my parents did the best that they could with me. And so I can't blame game's over. It's been over for quite a while. And in the end, my dad had multiple myeloma, and I saw him die. And in the end, he said that he loved me and that I had a beautiful family. And see, that was a payoff for me because I was such a parasite, you know, when I was growing up. And I really I always wanted my approval from my family, and I did. I got it in the end. With my dad, and so that was really cool. And I have two older brothers, and they need Al-Anon really bad. My God, you know, but. You know, I can't make anybody go to Al-Anon, that's for sure. I'm so powerless over the alcoholics and what I think people should do, you know. I just got to keep my side of the street clean and take care of myself. And, you know, a lot of stuff's happened with me. I've quit smoking over the years, and, you know, I got a physical not too long ago here. I need to follow up on the results. How about that? What a concept, you know. You're not really doing the deal in Al-Anon if you're not following up with the results, you know. But I need to do that. And but these are things that I just thought that I didn't need to do any of that stuff, you know. I just thought that I didn't care about myself, you know, enough. And I do care about myself, and I care about others, and it's been such a gift. And I know that, you know, I'm a horrible speaker. I'm better just talking, you know, one-on-one. That's why I probably don't speak, so don't ever ask me again. Okay? And, what were you thinking? That's what I was, you know. Just better off... you know, I'm really good, you know, one-on-one, and I get in front of groups or whatever, and I get caught up. But like I said, that guy that spoke today was really something. I'm going to get that guy's tape, and I'm going to make my wife listen to it. No, just kidding. She won't listen to it then if I... So, you know, but no, they were too cool, and we talked to them before they spoke, and they were pretty interesting. And anyways, that's all I got. If I talk any more, I don't know what the hell I'm going to say. Something stupid. So we could...